has been an amazing month for especially the 6 p.m. We've heard from Mike sharing a message series called Finish What You Started. Yes, he did an amazing job. We can thank Mike, guys. And Dean also shared a message last week in the same series. And I'm excited to share a series called Acts of Faith. Acts of Faith. I'm going to start by defining what faith is according to the Bible, which is the safest way to do it. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. I for one, am very passionate about faith. I think faith is a powerful thing. I believe that I'm standing in front of you tonight because of faith. I can stand and testify that I was the most insecure and shy person in the room. And to see what God has done through what one can believe is amazing. You can praise God for that. It's amazing what God will do by just a little bit of faith that you have in Him. Amen. And there's so many stories that I can tell of how God has been faithful to me, how I've believed Him for things, and how I've seen Him come through. And one of those that I'd like to share that happened about a year and a half ago was when I was looking for a place to stay. I was living in with a friend of mine, and we had to look for separate places. And I'd heard about this place that, you know, it's an amazing place. You know, you pay rent according to how much you can afford. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, we all know how much expensive rent is nowadays. I was like, okay, yes, I want to check it out. And I looked at the pictures online. I was like, oh, it actually looks cool. I inquired and I was encouraged to apply. And in the process of that, I, you know, put it on the list of the things I was praying for. I even went as far as printing one of the pictures and posting on the wall. That's how far I take my faith, guys. I am an interior stylist here at Father's House. I think I forgot to say that. I've been working here for about 5 years. And one of the things that I like to do, because I'm a visual person, like I'm a visual learner, I'm a visual communicator, I printed the picture because I wanted to remind myself of what I'm believing for. And so in the process of applying and having the picture on the wall and praying, I received a response from them saying, no, your application was unsuccessful. You didn't get the place. We don't have a space for you. It was a bit disappointing, but somehow in my heart, I just couldn't shake it off. I was like, this is the place for me. Somehow, you know, I believe that I need to move to this place, right? And I remember I called a friend and I said, let's pray. This is what I'm believing God is saying to me. And we prayed together. And in the process of that, I went as far as driving around there. I went there and I was like, okay, I want to see what this neighborhood looks like. And, you know, where's the grocery shop? And where can I jog? Where can I walk? You know, the things that I like to do. And I called them again and they said to me, oh, we accepted you about a couple of weeks ago, but we thought you were not interested because you didn't respond. And I was like, well, I didn't get a... Anyways, I'm still interested. So I say this to say that I moved into the place within a month and I'm still there and I'm happy. I think the thing for me, the amazing thing wasn't even the fact that I moved there. It was the fact that I had felt something in my heart and I wasn't willing to just give it up. And I believe that that's how sometimes God imparts faith in us. He makes us believe for something and it sounds crazy. And you're like, okay, why? And how is it going to happen? And you start thinking about it. You start calculating. But all He needs is just for you to believe what He says and just go with it. Amen. And I believe there's so many other stories in the Bible of how God, you know, responded to men and women who, you know, stood in faith, who believed him for something, and they trusted God and they put their faith into action and they saw God's hand at work. And as I said, Dean shared a message last week, and I believe he started sharing about the story that I want to share with us tonight. It's the story of a man named Jehoshaphat. It's in the Old Testament, Second Chronicles book in the Bible. You know, we hear about how this man was a king of God's people, the people of Judah. And from this story, we hear that, you know, there are three nations rose up against the people of God. And they wanted to, you know, destroy them and remove them from the promise that God gave them. And the Bible says they were overwhelmed, they were scared because the army was larger than they were. And they went to God, they cried to God and said, God, we don't know what to do. Help us. And God, in his faithfulness, he responded through a prophet and he said to them, do not be afraid, this battle is mine. The battle is the Lord's, says the Lord. That's what he said to the prophet. And he instructed the people to go ahead and approach the enemy. He said, go tomorrow, go and face the enemy. Go to the desert and face him and watch my salvation. Amen. And so I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles 20. And this is where, how the king began to lead the people of God into the victory that he promised. And it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20 to 22. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. As they went out at the head of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. How amazing that they decided to sing praises to God even before they could see him fulfill his promise to destroy their enemies. You see, sometimes we want to wait until we see the result. We want to wait until we see God answering our prayer before we can have confidence and sing out loud at the top of our voices and, you know, speak positively about the situation that we're facing. We want to see God do something first instead of engaging God in faith. Amen. Because praise, I discovered that praise has nothing to do with what God can do, but everything to do with us expressing our gratitude to God for who he is and not necessarily what we want him to do for us. And praise shifts our focus from ourselves, the situation, the circumstances we're facing, how complicated it is, how big it is, how overwhelming and how negative, how we don't know, we don't see a way out. And it places our focus to God, how big he is, how gracious he is, how powerful he is, how able he is to solve the problems that we have, to defeat the enemies on our behalf, to uplift us, to encourage us, to heal us, to provide for everything that we need. So this is the amazing thing about praise. We don't focus on us, we focus on God. Not only what we want him to do, for what we want him to do, but for who he is. And the other amazing things from this story about how they praised was that while they were singing, while they were praising the name of the Lord, God, on the other hand, sent ambushes against the enemy. At the very same time, he defeated their enemy on their behalf. And that's the power of our words. That's the power of our prayers. That's the power of our songs. That while we're singing, while we're standing together in church and lifting our hands and not knowing how things are going to change at home, not knowing how things are going to change with our finances, not knowing how things are going to change with our families, with our relationships, even with our studies, while we're worshiping and putting our faith in God and putting our faith in action by choosing to praise God, God on our behalf. When we turn around, we see that things have changed. Because in verses further down, it explains how God defeated the enemy. Remember I said there were three armies against one nation and it freaked them out? God used the very same thing against them. The Bible says they started fighting against each other. They killed each other on behalf of God's people. When they went up the mountain and they found everyone dead because they killed each other. How amazing is that God will use even the thing that seems overwhelming and use it according to your advantage. Amen. I'm going to go to verse 25 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Well, this is after they have found their enemies defeated. It continues to say, so Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days to collect it. It amazes me that the very same situation that was fearful and impossible, that you can find, that they found something valuable from it. How amazing is our God that He will use even the most challenging of situations to give you something of value. You know, you can learn a lesson from that bad decision. You can learn a lesson from that bad relationship. Even the chaotic situation, maybe at home, in your family, there's something of a good character that God wants to build in you from even that very challenging thing. You know, God is gracious. He never leaves us empty-handed. Amen. In another scripture in the Bible, it says, He makes all things work together for our good. Amen. And I'm going to continue and go to verse 27 to 30, where it says, then led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem, for the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and trumpets. Remember, these people went up the mountain unsure, scared, not knowing how God is going to deliver them. And now they're leaving the mountain. They're leaving the place of battle with songs of praise, rejoicing because they have seen the salvation of the Lord. And it continues to say, and the fear of God came upon all the nations or all the kingdoms. The fear of God came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. A couple of verses before that, three nations raised up against one nation. A couple of verses later, all kingdoms have fear of God because God has revealed his power on behalf of his people. You know, you might be facing something and you're like, yo, this is bigger than I am. I don't know how I'm going to get, you know, through this. I don't know how I'm going to overcome this. I want to remind you tonight that there's nothing too difficult for God. There is nothing too big for him. There is nothing too complicated for him not to solve. And it's amazing that the faith of King Jehoshaphat and people of Judah led them to a place of peace. You know, I love peace. I think peace, the presence of peace is a good indicator that God is at the center of our lives. You know, before you make any decision, before you decide on doing something, just test if you have peace about it. It's a good indicator that, you know what, I'm doing the right thing. Or maybe I'm doing it at the right time. Because sometimes we like to go ahead and, you know, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do it anyways. But peace will guide you. You know, peace will reassure you that you're doing the right thing at the right time and God is in it and you can never look back from that. Amen. And now you might say, okay, Zumi, I hear you saying I must have faith and I must put my faith into action, but why? Why must I do that? And what does that do for us? And I have 3 points that I want to share with us that I believe will explain what faith is and what putting our faith into action will do for us. And the faith, the first thing, which is I believe is the most important thing, is that faith leads to salvation. In Romans 10, verse 8-9, it says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, that's where all of us as believers begin. We begin by believing. That's where all of our relationships or our journey with God started, from a place of faith, not because of what we've done or how good we were or anything that we could do to earn salvation, but it was because of faith. Amen. And secondly, faith is the way of life. In Romans 1, verse 17, it says, for the gospel of righteousness, or rather, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. In the gospel, in the good news, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. It is not anything we have done, but what we believe and what we continue to believe. Someone said, faith doesn't make sense, but it makes miracles. I guess it depends what kind of life you want to live, really. Do you want to live just a regular life, like safe, doing what you can, what you're able to do, and that's it? Or do you want to live a life of faith, a life of boldness, a life of believing, daring to believe God for what he says, and trusting him even in the midst of, in the face of challenges, in the midst of difficult situations? And that's the way of life. That's the way of faith, is that we live in boldness. We dare to believe God, even if it sounds crazy, even if you've never seen anyone doing what you believe in God for. I mean, at some point I was like, I mean, what are you doing, Zim? Why are you driving in this place? I mean, just look for another place. They said no. But somehow I was like, I'll believe. I'll continue to believe. I hope that this is encouraging to you tonight. If you have something that's in your heart and you are like, it keeps coming back and you're like, you know, let me just forget about it. Let me forget about it. You know, this is not meant for me. You know, you might be finishing your studies and you're looking for employment and you're like, I'll just look for internships, you know, just look for the safe option. Or you just, because you have dreams in your heart, you have big dreams, you'll go, you'll reach for the stars, you'll reach for the highest opportunity, you'll take the bold step, you'll do it anyway and see what God can do. You see, God is big. We tend to limit God sometimes. We're like, oh no. We compare him to our own abilities, you know. We try to think of what we've seen him do. We're like, okay, let me reason with it. Well, it's about miracles. What he can do, not what we can do. Amen? And the last thing that faith does for us is that it leads us to obedience. This reminds me of the story of Abraham. You remember friend of God, Abraham, the old man that was promised to be the father of nations. But at the time, him and his wife were struggling to conceive. And it seemed like an impossible situation. God says, you're going to have many children. And they're like, well, it's not happening. And they finally receive this child. And God, again, asks Abraham to sacrifice the child. I mean, what now, God? What am I supposed to do? But it says Abraham believed God. He obeyed God. And James writes about this in James 2, verse 18-24, where it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish men, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was made perfect? This verse really highlights, it paints a plain picture of how we believe, but we don't just end with believing. We obey, because God speaks words into our hearts, and we're like, oh my God, must I do this now? How? You know? And it continues to say, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. My encouragement for us tonight is find something to believe God for. If there's something in your heart that God keeps staring for you to do or for you to receive, trust him for it tonight. Ask him to guide you and give you steps to follow in order for him to fulfill the promise, because it's all about God's goodness. God wants to show you who he is. He wants to show you personally. It's amazing that we're reading, you know, stories in the Bible of how God did amazing things. But God knows each and every one of us by name. And he has something special and something amazing for each and every one of us. He doesn't have favorites. God responds to faith. You know, in my own words, I believe that faith is like a form of transportation that takes us from one location to the next destination. And so my encouragement for us tonight is that if you maybe feel like you're stuck in some way, you feel stuck in a space or in a thought process or like in a space, perhaps it's time for you to activate your faith and learn to move forward. Perhaps it's time for you to take bold steps that lead you toward growth. Perhaps it's time for you to be excited about the future that God has for you, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. You see, the amazing thing, as I wrap up, about the story of Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah is that the name Judah means praise. And God is very intentional, I said to you before. He's very intentional. It took the king to remind people of what their true identity is, to act on that, to actually sing praises to God for them to see the promise being fulfilled. And tonight, people of God, my brothers and sisters, may I stand here to remind you of who you are. You are loved. You are forgiven. You are equipped. You are enough. You know, there's nothing impossible for God that he can't do for you. And it's time for you to stand up and act accordingly and not shrink back anymore. God has amazing plans for you. God has an amazing, you know, future for you, a career for you, a business for you, a person for you, a community of people for you. But it will take you to have faith, and not only have faith, but put your faith into practice. Amen. Can you stand with me as we pray? Can we close our eyes and we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are with us tonight. Lord, you are in the room, and wherever you are, change happens. Change happens wherever you are, Lord. And so tonight we put our faith into your hands, Lord. And we believe that our hearts will be transformed, our lives will be changed, our minds will be renewed, and we will testify of your goodness. And the people around us will begin to see your goodness and your power and your mercy and all the things that you have planned for us come to life because of the touch of your hand. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that everything we ask in your name, believing, absolutely believing in you, we shall receive. And so we declare this tonight, that there is nothing impossible for you, nothing is difficult for you, and nothing is too hard for you. We receive your blessings tonight, God. I pray for each and every heart that's in this place, God. I pray for every family represented here, God. I declare that victory is yours, oh God, that we will stand and see your salvation at hand in front of our eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.